besties. I hope you're having an amazing day wherever you are in the world. Welcome or welcome back to a short erotic sex story written and told by Lala's Bedtime Tales. I wanted to let you all know that I am so sorry to be getting this episode to you all late, but these past 2 weeks I've been battling COVID, so I was bedridden and literally couldn't talk. But I'm better now and hope you all will enjoy the second part of Sweet Summer Vengeance. If you haven't already, please show me your favorite erotic storytelling podcaster and erotica writer some love by giving the podcast a 5-star rating and review. It's crucial that you review the podcast because, as an erotic writer and storyteller, I am always interested in feedback and knowing your thoughts on the stories I share with you all. Also, it allows other erotica lovers and smut sluts like me and you to find Lala's Bedtime Tales erotic stories wherever they enjoy listening to podcasts. Do you want to help support this amazing erotic storytelling podcast? Do you love Lala's Bedtime Tales, but want more content, especially exclusive content? Then join Lala's Bedtime Tales exclusive Patreon community. Join the Baby Girls exclusive access tier for as low as $5 a month and receive a ton of exclusive content like episode soundtracks and playlists, early access and ad-free podcast episodes, behind the scenes of my writing process, a shout out on the podcast, voting rights of what stories deserve a continuation, video tellings of your favorite stories, or a first look at my new work. And that's just a few of the perks I'm offering. There are so many more. I have varying tiers that offer something for all of my favorite people. So if you want more of Lala, you enjoy smutty, erotic content and all things sexy, then check out the show notes to join my Patreon. Do you ever wonder why women love spicy, smutty, or erotic romance? If so, then I'm spilling all the tea. Reserve your seat for Thursday, September 28th for the Beginner's Guide to Spicy Romance. Yes, that's right. It's backed by popular demand. And to kick it off, I'm offering my fave listeners a very special $10 off the workshop. But hurry, I'm only offering it for the first 10 people that sign up as an early bird special. You don't want to miss this exciting workshop. You will learn all the sexy details about why spicy romance is a powerful sexual wellness tool and discover the best beginner reads to ease you into this saucy genre. You'll also receive guides, my erotic stories ebook anthology, and so much more. Check out the show notes for the link to reserve your seat today and the $10 off promo code. This September, Lala's Bedtime Tales, a sexual wellness and liberation brand, turns 2, and I want to celebrate with you all. So please sign up for my emailing list, join my Facebook group, or follow me on Instagram so you don't miss any of the events that I have coming your way. Let's get this party started! Also, if you love my erotic stories but would love sex advice, dating tips, and sexual health information, and spicy book reviews and recommendations, then be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Lala's Bedtime Tales, which the link can be found in the show notes. Lastly, be sure to subscribe to my podcast so you'll be alerted whenever there's a new, sexy, audio erotic tale for you to listen to for your pleasure. If you're a Spotify listener, be sure to take the poll at the end of this episode or let me know your thoughts about any of my stories on Spotify interactions. While I like to get nasty as much as the next person, please keep them PG-13 so that I can share them with the world. Keep listening because Sweet Summer Vengeance only keeps getting hotter. Enjoy! Attention, attention. Hey gorgeous, I'm dropping in with a spoiler alert and trigger warning. First, This is the second part of a two-part story. So, if you haven't listened to part one of A Sweet Summer Vengeance, then hit the pause button and go back to listen to the first part. I highly encourage you to do so, or else you will be super fucking confused. Second, your mental health is super important to me, and I don't want to trigger anyone. So, I'm just dropping in with another quick message. This is a dark romance, so it deals with the following topics: bondage, discipline, sadism, and masochism, also known as BDSM. Dubious consent or DUBCON, and there are mentions of substance abuse, child abuse, and neglect, but none that occurs in the story. So, viewer discretion is advised. It's time for Lala's Bedtime Tales. Grab your wine, dim the lights, and get ready to listen to an oh-so-sexy bedtime story. I'm Lala, and I want to tell you an erotic story guaranteed to turn you on and get you hot and bothered. So, listen up. Hey love, part one of A Sweet Summer Vengeance took us on a very wild ride for poor sweet naive Summer Monson. We left off with Summer Monson getting arrested by the DEA and her life going to hell because her biggest crime was loving a very bad boy. Will Ocean be worthy of the hefty price Summer paid and swoop in and save her from the mess he caused? Or will he be blowing in the wind, nowhere to be found, and leave Summer to clean up everything on her own? Let's find out if Summer made a grave mistake by loving Ocean, and if so, what does that mean for her and her hottie surfer boyfriend? Freedom never tasted so sweet, especially since I'm out for fucking blood. Early this morning, when I stepped off the Greyhound bus and set foot back in Myrtle Beach, all I could think about was this very moment. Myrtle Beach had been the place of all my nightmares, a city I had spent all my life dreaming of leaving to escape my terrors. It was those foolish childhood fairy tale dreams of escape that provided me with the hope that helped me survive my crack whore egg donor, nights sleeping on the streets under the stars, and every bad hand life has dealt me thus far. Myrtle Beach is a city I once hated, but I'd be lying to say it hadn't felt good to step off that bus, see Myrtle Beach boardwalk, be greeted by the unforgettable scents of the beach, and listen to the loud growling of my belly when the delicious aromas wafting from the Landshark Bar and Grill. Yet, that walk down memory lane was short-lived. I mean, who am I kidding? I still hated this place, but my hometown is a hell of a lot better than my 48 square foot prison cell. When I was packing my bags to leave Ocean, I desperately wanted to leave Myrtle Beach and maybe take a vacation. I dreamt of using my 400 grand to travel the world, becoming cultured by experiencing Italy and shopping for the hottest designer brands in Paris. I snort. Never in a million years did I think I'd be taking a trip 2.5 hours away to Colombia for a not so luxury stay at South Carolina's Women's Correctional Center. It had been 5 years. 5 very long years to rewind, repeat, and fixate on every decision I made that led me to 5 years of confinement. 5 long years to plan out a way to truly become free from the bullshit I got caught in with Ocean and devise a plan to leave Myrtle Beach for good. I may no longer be in prison, but I'm still trapped in a gilded cage when it comes to the agreement I made with that she-devil to save Ocean's worthless life. The courts had frozen my accounts before I even set foot in South Carolina's Women's Correctional Center for Drug Trafficking. Hence, I came out 5 years later as broke as I had been before I auctioned off my virginity to the highest bidder. Myrtle Beach is a haven and a hellhole wrapped up as a present for me, with a pretty bow on top. I arrived back in my hometown as an ex-convict and flat ass broke. You'd think I'd paid a hefty price for loving, trusting, and showing loyalty to an asswipe that clearly didn't give a damn about me. But no, the worst part was yet to come, because I still owed that bitch, my madam, 5 years of servitude as a high-class escort. The small taste of freedom I was able to enjoy had been the 2-hour bus ride the state of South Carolina provided me back to my hometown after serving my time for Ocean's laundry list of crimes. Unfortunately, I am still locked in a gilded cage by the gorgeous, stylish woman that is beginning to make Cersei Lannister look like Mary Poppins. The moment I arrived in town, she was ready and waiting for me to pay up what she was due. The welcome back gift she bestowed on me was a bargain an anger-fueled woman like me wouldn't pass up in her wildest dreams. I stood in a dimly lit hall, staring at the black paneled office door, my heart beating a mile a minute. I had to focus. My stint in prison had changed me, and in my opinion, for the better. I wasn't a naive 18-year-old girl looking for her Prince Charming, because, newsflash, those men didn't exist outside of Disney movies. My time in prison had made me jaded, sinister, and most importantly, desperate for revenge. I could do this. I was strong. I had survived hell and back. I could knock on the damn door in front of me. The door I had paid for on my back, on my knees, on my front, while blindfolded with my hands bound as I was fucked by a mysterious madman once upon a time ago. I'm badass. If I had the courage to sell my soul at 18, then I could knock on this fucking door. I lifted my fist and pounded hard on the door. Come in. The door is open for auditions. The deep voice bellowed, making the fine blonde hair stand tall on my arms as a shiver coursed down my spine. I wiped my sweaty palms on the short skirt of my tight, revealing black bodycon dress. I turned the brass doorknob of the office, utilizing the clicking of my heels on the cement floor to ground my mind before I lifted my gaze to clash with beautiful, unforgettable, honey brown eyes. Those beautiful brownish gold eyes infiltrated every dream I had over the past 5 years. Oddly, I still found those familiar eyes comforting, and looking into them, even after all the shit I've been through, warmed my heart. Miss me? I say, taking a seat in front of his big onyx L-shaped office desk, helping myself to the cognac he had poured in a crystal tumbler. I hid my smirk behind the glass, enjoying the beautiful deep olive color of Ocean's skin draining to a sickly pale white. You would have sworn the man had seen the Annabelle doll by his startled expression. Witnessing the shock, surprise, and confusion cross Ocean's face was worth every penny of the additional year of old dicks I had to suck and unattractive men I'd have to fuck. My madam would also be taking more of a cut of my money over the next 6 years, which wasn't exactly ideal, but she'd be getting everything I owed her from between my legs anyway. Therefore, when she served up my shitty ex-boyfriend's whereabouts on a silver platter, I couldn't pass up this opportunity. Summer, you're out? Huh. Last time I checked, you still had more time to serve. Ocean responds, grabbing a second crystal tumbler and filling it with golden brown liquor. Ocean downs the alcohol in one gulp, giving away the fact he's more uneasy about this situation than he'd want anyone to know. But I have lived with the man for 2 years. Ocean is my first love, so I know more about him than anyone else. Only this time, I wouldn't allow my love drunk goggles only to see the positive aspects of him through rose-colored tunnel vision. Well, I guess you thought wrong. I love this strip club you bought us with my money, I reply, not allowing my boiling hot rage to seep into my tone. I wanted him to see me as the young, dumb girl, eager to want him to love me. I would have done anything to please this man. Hell, I have done everything for him. A moment of awkward silence passes between us, giving me ample time to soak in this older, potentially new version of Ocean Simonyan. The beautiful man had shed his boyish facade and surfer boy mentality for the Armenian gangster persona he proudly wore. Apparently, he had made quite a bit of money while I was locked up, using the 200 grand he stole from me as seed money to open his gentlemen's clubs. Seemed like this man had made it his life mission to get by in his life on the backs of women's sex appeal. I had actually been able to wiggle my way into his office by pretending to audition to be a dancer for tonight. What do you want, Summer? Ocean asks, leaning back in his chair and giving me a stern look as if he felt like he still held some type of power over me. Maybe I want a job here at our club. I mean, could you imagine my surprise when the police told me the courts had frozen the 150 grand in my bank account? They wanted to know who had made a 150 grand withdrawal while I had been sitting in the county jail. But even though your name was on my account, they couldn't track you down because you were blowing in the wind and you had used a pseudonym. But I think my favorite thing was finding out that I owned a warehouse and the van we were living in. Now who would have bought assets in my name? But, hold on, that's not the kicker. Do you want to take a guess what it is though? Both the van and warehouse had tons of fucking drugs. I answer, smiling sweetly and refilling my glass with Ocean's liquor. I felt a knife to the heart when I looked into Ocean's cold eyes and didn't see an ounce of guilt or remorse. How could I have missed the red flags of pure evil this asshole possessed? Ocean masked it so well with his facade of boyish charms accompanied by a very, very pretty face. I held his gaze that once used to intimidate me, refusing to look away and bow down to the stronghold he had on my soul. I would never be at this evil man's mercy again. But he'd never know that. You said your piece. Are we done here? Ocean coldly dismisses me. I place my hands in my lap so he doesn't witness them shake with rage. I had spent 5 years in prison for his crimes, saved his life by fucking a stranger, and he treated my presence like an annoying gnat at a fucking picnic. I'm broke. I have nowhere to live. You're the only person in my life that ever mattered to me, I say, speaking the painful truth that causes my stomach to sour. I watch a sinister, broad smile cross his beautiful face, loving every word of my declaration. He loved the power exchange between us. He fed off my desperation and got a cruel kick of having me at his mercy. It's insane to think that he and the man he despises more than anyone in the world shared this commonality. They wanted women as pretty playthings to use as chew toys. You're still beautiful, if not more beautiful since time has passed. I'm sure we can work something out, baby. Ocean states, his eyes roaming my body in this skin-tight black dress, making me want to vomit. How did I ever find this man attractive? His arrogance made him so stupid. Which is why he got caught so easily by his father when trying to steal his drug business, and how he led the DEA to our fucking front doorstep. I have a better idea, I say, leaning my elbows on his desk. Ocean eyes the soft mounds of my breasts, threatening to spill out of my dress and onto his desk. Oh yeah? What's that? You want to give me the pussy that I'm owed? Ocean teases, causing my blood to run cold in my veins. I give him a small smile, trying to keep composure instead of knocking him over the head with the bottle of cognac that sits between us. I think I can do something even better. Unless, of course, you've patched things up with your father, I respond. His pupils becoming pinpricks at the mention of his father tells me he still despises the man. I will take my last breath hating that man, Ocean grounds out, clenching the crystal tumbler so hard that I'm shocked it doesn't shatter. Speaking of owing pussy to someone, I still owe my madam 5 years as an escort, and your dad is my biggest client. That money I got from auctioning off my virginity was his money. He was my highest bidder, I revealed to Ocean. Ocean's face turns a deep red from uncontrollable anger. I practically jump out of my skin as the glass tumbler whizzes by my head, hitting the wall next to his office door. If I had revealed this piece of information to Ocean 5 years ago, I would have thought he was angry on my behalf and felt as if his father had taken advantage of me. But I'm no longer that stupid fool. Ocean was angry because his dad literally fucked his plaything while screwing Ocean over in the process. I stand, walk around, and maneuver myself into Ocean's lap. Being this close to Ocean, stroking his hair, and feeling him snuggle closer to me for comfort feels as if no time has elapsed between us. It would be all too easy to fall back into our relationship as if we were never apart. If you really want to stick it to him while in the process of taking the inheritance that you're owed, I can help you kill him, I say, my words catching Ocean off guard. He clutches me tighter, looking into my eyes, trying to strip my soul bare and attempting to read my mind to find my motive. That's not a bad idea. He keeps his home hidden and heavily guarded like a fortress. I'm sure he has a fuck pad somewhere, and the most likely time he would be surrounded by very few of his men is when he's fucking a whore. But what's in it for you if we kill him? Ocean inquires, stroking my hip, feeling my involuntary flinch at the word whore. I'm desperate, homeless, and have no choice but to lean on you. If I help you kill him, I want $10 million, a new identity, and a home wherever I choose to start my new life, I say without breaking eye contact. I hold my breath as another awkward silence stretches between us. Ocean takes his sweet time answering, but after what feels like a millennium of waiting, he responds, "I'll do it." I feel relief flood through my body before I close the distance between our mouths, sealing the deal with a kiss. Ocean was going to help me get my freedom from his father. Now, I just needed to figure out how to free myself from Ocean and ensure he doesn't renege on our deal. My ass burns from the lashes to my butt cheeks, but my pussy is dripping wet while my clitoris erratically pulsates. The last few hits to my ass with the paddle were the most excruciating, but with each smack to the ass, my nipples become more erect and I hunger for more pleasurable pain. "You disappointed daddy, sunshine. I fucking own you. Yet you disappeared for 5 long years. Now daddy has to punish you. So, take your punishment like a good girl when I fuck all your hoes." My highest bidder states, tossing the paddle to the floor and grabbing the Hitachi One, pulling my lace thong to the side and overwhelming my body with strong vibrations from the massager the moment it touches my overly sensitive clitoris. Daddy's Simeon had been torturing me for what felt like hours. Even though we had only been in this room for possibly 20 minutes, I felt hot, dazed, and like my skin is too tight as the strong vibrations massage my clitoris. My eyes begin to roll to the back of my head, my essence coating my thighs as my lower abdomen clamps and I feel my orgasm start to build. I moan, whimper and thrash my body, but before I hit my climax, he pulls away the vibrator. I growl at him from frustration, twisting my body, trying to free my hands from the restraints, desperate for some relief. I am so hot and so horny, but I physically can't stroke my clit to end this torture without the assistance of Daddy Simeon. My arms are stretched above my head, shackled by leather cuffs to a steel suspension bar bolted to the ceiling. The suspension bar has my petite, curvaceous frame levitating off the ground with only my big toes brushing the soft plush carpet. "Please, Daddy," I beg, feeling beads of sweat trickle down the valley between my breasts. I couldn't take it any longer. I needed this man to shove his delicious dick in my pussy, or else I might die. He had rendered me immobile with the restraints he utilized. "What's that, pet? I need you to use your words, sunshine. Now, tell daddy what you need from him," he whispers into my ear. His wet, hot breath, coupled with the wetness of his mouth sucking on my earlobe, causes sexual desire to course through my veins. As soon as I open my mouth to speak, he circles the Hitachi One around my gorged clitoris. I whimper, "Please, daddy, make me come. Please." He lets out a throaty laugh, sinking to his knees and positioning my small frame to hover over his face. The second he sucks my clitoris into his mouth, I shatter into a million pieces, screaming out my orgasm at the top of my lungs. He grabs me by the globes of my ass, causing the cuffs to bite into my wrist as he pulls my pussy down further on his open mouth. I writhe and shake as his tongue swirls around and suckles my clitoris. I feel another orgasm building as he eats the fuck out of my pussy. I yell out my second release because this man has a magical fucking tongue. It has been way too long since this man had my body buzzing with sexual satisfaction. In the back of my mind, I should be disgusted that this man paid an exuberant amount of money to exclusively own my body. But that within itself is one of my greatest fucking turn-ons when it comes to this sexy as sin madman. Man, I love every kinky thing this man does to my body. I don't think I'd ever fuck anyone else who could measure up to my highest bidder's skills in bed. Through hooded eyes, I watched Daddy Simeon rise to his feet. He collapses the nape of my neck hard, kissing me passionately, making me taste the tart sweetness of my arousal that's glistening on his lips. The loud noise startled me, causing my heart rate to practically beat out of my chest. Typically, the world ceases to exist when I'm getting fucked 7 days to Sunday by Daddy Simeon. However, today was different because it wasn't an ordinary dick appointment with my highest bidder. I couldn't help but wonder if this was the moment I'd been waiting for all day. If I open my eyes, will my sexy ass in madman who fucks my brains out be a crumpled mess in a pile of blood on the floor? I open my eyes. I'm greeted with brownish gold eyes and a warm, rock-hard, muscular body that pulls me closer to their face while continuing to kiss me with bruising roughness. In true madman fashion, he carries on with me as if nothing has happened. He uses his half-naked body to shield mine. Daddy Simeon holds me immobile against his muscular frame. I can hear noises and grunts behind him, but I can't see what's causing the commotion. A few minutes later, I hear the door to the room click shut as Daddy Simeon pulls away from me with a sinister smile on his face. Well, sunshine, the party can really get started now that our special guest has joined us. The madman taunts, stepping away from my body. Ocean is seated in a chair, a few feet away from where I'm suspended in the air. He looks like a hideous orc. His beautiful face is unrecognizable from the cuts, swelling, and bruising that deform it. Damn. Samuel Simeon's man did a number on my ex when he tried to break into his father's fuck pad. I feel giddy with excitement to see Ocean in such a pathetic, broken state. But I'm still unsatisfied because it's not even an ounce of the humiliation, depression, or debasement I felt when I learned how he played me like a fool 5 years ago. One of Ocean's eyes is purple and swollen shut, but his one good eye, even with the burst capillaries, shines with disgust and hatred as it darts between his father and me. His eyes peruse my body, which is clawed in skimpy lingerie. I wear black thigh-high socks with garter belts, a small lace thong, and a black lacy, cupless bra with thin lacy straps that form delicate bows around my exposed, erect nipples. Ocean's father runs a single finger along the thin scrap of damp, lacy fabric between my thighs. I let out a little moan, soaking the tiny scrap of fabric as his thumb brushes against my clitoris. Daddy Simeon smirks at the little sex noise I make as he pulls the thong down my legs. I watch him hold the thin scrap of black lacy wet fabric to his nose, taking a huge inhale, sniffing in the natural musk of my arousal. So wet for daddy, as always. You see, a woman's pussy sucks for you when she's being fucked and satisfied by a real man. Samuel explains, walking towards an angry ocean who's fighting against the restraints of the chair, trying to get loose to rip his father's fucking head off. Samuel pries his son's mouth open, shoving my panties between his lips. Ocean bucks his body as his father slams his hand over his mouth so he has no choice but to taste my essence and some of his father's leftover semen from fucking me earlier. Samuel continues, I hope you enjoy the taste of Sunshine's pussy because a little bitch like you will never taste what's mine. You're a little piece of shit whose arrogance turned him fucking stupid. You're weak, just like your dead mother. Also, son, you're a damn fool to think you could overtake my throne before my body was lifeless, cold, and 6 feet underground. Now, let me show you how a real man pleases a woman. I feel my nipples tighten and my pussy becomes slick at the thought of being fucked by an audience. Ocean having to watch his father fuck me is just the cherry on top of my revenge sundae. The idiot's arrogance made him an easy setup. Yet, I feel a morsel of resentment towards myself that he severely underestimated me. I hear Daddy Simeon's gray sweatpants hit the ground. He lifts my right leg, curving around his hip. Once he feels my leg is secured, he runs his big, thick, erect dick through my wet, slick folds to get himself nice and lubricated for my hot, wet pussy. Daddy Simeon teases my entrance before forcefully thrusting into me, stretching my needy pussy until he's balls deep inside of me. He holds my leg in place with one hand while wrapping my long caramel hair in his fists, pulling my head back roughly to make me stare into Ocean's mutilated face as he fucks me. The rage that fills Ocean's eyes to watch his father fuck his ex-girlfriend is absolutely enjoyable. Daddy Simeon's pistons into me, fucking me rough and hard. The only noises heard in the room are the slapping of our flesh, his grunts, and my moans of delight as we create a sex symphony that slowly drives Ocean insane. Daddy Simeon fucks me until my legs begin to shake, causing him to pick me up by the globes of my ass, allowing my feet to relax on his thighs with my knees pushed to my chest. At this angle, I let out loud moans and begin speaking gibberish as he fucks me deeper and harder, his dick massaging the pleasurable spot deep inside my pussy. Oh yes, daddy, yes, just like that, I rasp out through labored breathing as my orgasm hits me. Causing me to see stars as I'm launched into a state of euphoria. I can barely hear Daddy Simeon's grunts of pleasure over my screams of ecstasy as his dick twitches inside of me. I kegel his dick, milking him for every drop of cum that he fills my swollen, wet pussy with. He gently lowers my legs, uncuffing my wrists from the suspension bar and massaging the filling back into my wrist. My legs feel like jelly. My hair is plastered to my sweaty forehead and I feel weightless on my toes. Daddy Simeon quickly pulls on his sweatpants and heads to a cabinet in the corner of the room, pulling out a Glock and loading it with a magazine. He begins walking towards Ocean, who's thrashing like a feral cat, trying to free himself from the chair. His eyes land on me, looking pathetic, begging me, and I feel a stab to the heart when I see the fear flash across his face. A myriad of emotions run through me as I remember the good times I shared with Ocean over the course of our two-year relationship before everything imploded. "Wait," I say to Daddy Simeon, making his footsteps falter as he crosses the room. In my peripheral vision, I notice Ocean's body slightly relaxed, reveling in the feeling of power to know that he understands at this moment, he's at my fucking mercy. I hold out my hand for the gun. Daddy Simeon pauses, letting out a sinister laugh before shaking his head. "Sunshine, do you know how to even use a gun? Plus, how can I trust you not to turn around and shoot me?" Ocean's father questions. His beautiful, golden brown eyes, the same as his son's, look at me, dead in my eyes, searching for answers. "He fucked me over. I sold my virginity online to save this piece of shit, only to turn around and spend 5 long years caged like an animal because of his bullshit. I deserve this. I don't only deserve this, I'm fucking owed this opportunity," I exclaim, my gaze never faltering, letting him know I mean business. He walks over to Ocean, motioning me over with the gun. Daddy Simeon places my body between his and Ocean's, holding the cold metal of the gun to my temple. "Fuck me over, and you'll pay, little pet," Samuel grounds into my ear before replacing the gun with his lips, giving me a soft kiss on my temple. He places the gun in my hand, covering mine with his as he moves our hands to press the gun between Ocean's eyes. The warmth and strength of Daddy Simeon's hand steadies mine. My heart pounds hard against my breastbone. I dreamt of the ways I torture, castrate, and kill Ocean over the past 5 years. Yet, when the time and place presents themselves, and I hold a loaded Glock between the eyes of the man I once loved, could I bring myself to pull the trigger? Am I capable of murder? My love had saved Ocean before, but was there any love left in my heart to save him a second time? One look into Ocean's face was all I needed to make my decision. I squeeze the trigger, and the bullet lodges into his forehead, his blood and brain matter splattering all over me and Daddy Simeon. I laugh aloud as I see the light leave Ocean's one good eye. That son of a fucking bitch got what was coming to him. It was all fun and games with him until the rabbit had the gun. He had fucked with the wrong one and paid the price with his pitiful, pitiful life. The one I should have never saved in the first place. Revenge never felt so damn good. I feel Daddy Simeon loosen his grip on my hand, and he places the gun on the ground. I turn around to face him, covered in his son's blood, dropping to my knees, wanting to show him my gratitude with my mouth. He didn't resist me as I freed his dick from his sweatpants and swallowed him to the back of my throat. I had freed myself from Ocean, and it felt abso-fucking-lutely exhilarating. Now, I needed to find a way to meet with the she-devil herself to figure out how to get out of the bargain I made with the woman who truly held my fate in her dainty manicured hands. Nice place you got here, love. Did my pussy, amongst many other ones, pay for it for you? I ask. My madam jumps out of her skin when she sees me sitting on her white leather couch as she enters her beachfront condo. Having a pretty face, a nice rack, and sliding the doorman a few Benjamin Franklins could get you whatever you wanted, including breaking and entering. Love irritatingly slaps her keys into the bowl near her front door and hangs up her purse before choosing to acknowledge my existence. Love's beauty is breathtaking and allures you like a siren who's lost at sea. Her beauty has a way of captivating you and trapping you into a web of her pleasant lies that you don't even notice the shitty interior she hides underneath those gorgeous features and flawless skin, making her the perfect person to romance women into a career as a high-paid sex worker. It didn't really make sense to me why one of the biggest social media beauty influencers would aspire to create a high-class escort service that would put Heidi Fleiss to shame. But maybe greed and power were the two biggest things that fed her ego, and being revered on the internet wasn't enough for a narcissistic bitch like her. You look sexy as always, Summer. To what do I owe this visit? Is your business mentor not meeting your expectations? Tough shit, sweetie. He has invested a pretty penny into your future. Love woodenly states, pouring herself a big glass of Merlot and making herself comfortable on the opposite end of her white leather couch for me. I roll my eyes at the code words that Love decides to use, which will make it impossible for us to have a candid conversation. This bitch thinks I'm wearing a wire. Everyone becomes so skeptical about you and your loyalty if you get released from prison a few years shy of your full sentence. I shimmy my blue floral sundress down my body, allowing it to pull at my feet. I quickly unclasp my bra, allowing my breasts to fall freely. I slide my blue lace thong down my hips, stepping out of it and allowing it to slide into the pile with my abandoned dress. I shake my hair and whirl around in a circle so she can see that I have no wires on my body. I flop back on her white leather couch, naked as the day I was born, and unbashful about my nudity. After community showers with eyes on you at all times, your modesty becomes a thing of the past. I want fucking out. I can't do it anymore. It's slowly killing me inside. I don't want to be someone's cum dumpster for the next 5 years. So, tell me what I need to do to be free of this agreement. More importantly, be free of a conniving bitch like you. I respond, not giving a shit if my bluntness has her La Perla thong in a twist. Love takes a few sips of her wine, taking her sweet ass time to respond, as if I haven't made a desperate plea for my freedom. Summer, you're a felon. An ex-con. Even before that, you were trash. You're not going to find a better paying job than being one of my escorts. You damn sure won't make what you're being paid now as a barista at the coffee shop you worked at when we first met. Honey, you need me. You need this job. You won't be young and pretty forever. So let it pay your bills for as long as you can. Love coldly advises, her beautiful hazel brown eyes sparkling in the sunset from her mesmerizing view of the beach that we can admire from the comfort of her luxury condominium. I want a new start in a new life. I want to have the freedom to choose who I fuck, when I fuck, and how I fuck. I want to move away from Myrtle Beach and forget all the bad shit in this town. I'm sitting here buck ass naked, begging you to release me from this contract. Love, I'll fucking do anything, I beg. My dignity had sailed when I was 18 and sold my soul to this she-devil to save a dead man's life. Love places her wine on the end table next to the sea. Her gaze leisurely roams my body, and a small grin slides across her face. I feel more exposed at this moment than I have ever had before in my life. Not because I'm naked, but Love's superpower is her ability to disarm people, making you think she's on your side, causing you to want to share your deepest, darkest secrets with her, like she's your overpaid therapist. I feel like in a single stare, she reads every thought that crosses my mind like Jean Grey. There may be something you could do for me, but I have to fully understand how far you are willing to go when it comes to doing me favors, especially really big favors. Love says, her pretty full lips pulling into a wicked smile. I hold my breath, feeling my heartbeat accelerate, knowing some bullshit is about to fall from her lips. You can start by showing me a good time, like you do your highest bidder, Love demands. I knew before she even opened her mouth what she'd request. She'd want to put me in my place. She'd want to degrade me, humiliate me, and most importantly, ensure I understood I was, in fact, nothing more to her than a fuck toy. Whenever, however, and whoever she demanded me to service sexually. While Love is a beautiful woman, I had only been with one person in my entire life. Daddy Simeon. He was a dominant alpha in and out of the bedroom. He took control. He owned my body. He fucked me. I had no clue how to fuck anyone, let alone another woman. But I guess I was about to find out because I wanted my freedom more than anything else in the world. Plus, who knew? I might enjoy it. I moved closer to Love on the couch, stroking her cheek and leaning in to place a kiss on her mouth. She deepened our kiss, sliding her tongue between my slightly parted lips. Kissing another woman is different than any kiss I'd ever had. Love is soft, her breath sweet, and she smells like flowers. She takes her time kissing me slowly and deeply, not nipping my lip or bruising my skin with the roughness of stubble. I wholeheartedly enjoy the way she kisses me, like we are the stars of a Nicholas Sparks romance movie. Her small, soft hands roam across my naked curves, gently stroking every dip and bend of my body, trying to memorize the feel and shape of me. I shudder, feeling desire spread through my body like wildfire, as her fingers gently meet my puckering nipples that grow so hard and so erect from her soft, teasing touch. I pull away from Love because she has way too many clothes on for all the dirty things I want to do to her hot body. People thought I was curvy, but Love had ass and tits for days that put the Kardashian clan to shame. Post plastic surgery, of course. My fingers itch to touch, grope, lick, and fuck every inch of her luscious body. I hated this woman with every fiber of my being. But anytime I got into close proximity to her, she'd draw me in, making me want to be her friend, her lover, and whatever else she wanted. Maybe I found her as sexy as she claimed to find me all these years. Maybe our opinions of one another had never been completely platonic, and the fire that burns between us has been more lust fueled than powered by deep-seated hatred. With clumsy fingers, I helped remove her black silk wrap dress. My mouth waters at the sight of her delicious soft curves and her black La Perla lily lace floral lingerie set. My gaze meets her flushed face, and she gives me a flirtatious giggle before taking a bite of her plump bottom lip. I feel my pussy become slick with arousal as I pull her large, double D breasts free from the flimsy, delicate cups of her bra. They're round, pretty, and perfectly thrust up in my face as if they're beckoning me to suck on them. I lower my head so I'm eye level with her dusky, rose-colored nipples. Cupping the soft mound of her left tit, I stroke the pad of my thumb over the delectable butt until it tightly puckers beneath my touch. The moment I lick my tongue over the hardened nub, she arches her back into my wet, hot mouth, letting out a throaty moan of pleasure. I run my tongue back and forth across her hardened nipple while I palm, stroke, and tease her right breast. Her hand slides down my back, grabbing a handful of my ass cheeks as I suck, nibble, and play with her large breast. I bury my face in the valley of her tits, inhaling her sweet, sweet floral scent. Kissing my way up her chest to suck on the pulse point in her neck. I slide her thong to the side, sliding my index finger in her wet, slick folds, teasing her pussy the way I enjoy touching mine. I rub my thumb in circular motions around her engorged clitoris before slipping a finger into her hot, wet core that's soaking wet for me. We both let out a needy whimper at the same time because love's hands are stroking and teasing my hot, horny pussy as her mouth nips and sucks on my erect nipples. Daddy Simeon is a talker in bed. I've come to love his sexy baritone voice and the nasty things he says to me. But the silence between love and I makes this an even sexier experience because it allows me to be more attuned to the pleasure she is giving my body. Not to mention how hot her breathy groans and throaty moans are every time I palm her clit. Just write or run my tongue around her nipple. Our fucking is the sexiest playlist for this hot, hot hookup. I pull away from her, hating every second of not having her skillful touch on my body, sending me into states of ecstasy. But I really, really wanted to taste her pussy. I pushed her down onto the couch and I kissed her roughly, allowing myself to revel in the taste of her sweet mouth. I kissed the side of her mouth, running my tongue across her jawline before kissing my way down her chest. I licked the valley between her breasts, pinching and rolling her nipples as my tongue descends its way down her tight, petite frame until I'm kissing the top of the mound between her thighs. Love's entire body quakes when my tongue connects with her clitoris. I had never thought I'd have any desire to eat anyone's kitty, but Love's is a sweet treat I desperately want to devour. Love pushes at my shoulder, causing me to pause my actions. Wait, I want you to ride my face while you lick my kitty cat. Love demands, not allowing me to control anything between us, including her pleasure. I look at her through my lashes, knowing I couldn't deny this woman, especially when she was flushed from desire and gloriously naked. I stand from my place on the couch, and love positions her small frame flat on the cushions. I straddled her face, placing my feet flat on the arm of the sofa. She guides my hips, positioning me in the perfect place to eat my hot, wet pussy. The minute her tongue connects with my clitoris, I'm launched into heaven. Damn, I thought my highest bidder could eat pussy. But the way love's tongue strokes and circles my clit, I can't even fucking think straight. I let out a loud cry of pleasure as she suckles my clitoris between her soft, full lips. Love spreads her legs wide, giving me the perfect view of her pretty, pink, glistening, soaking wet pussy. I'd never eaten a woman out before, but I would try my hardest to make love feel so good she'd understand I'd do anything she wanted to free me from my debt. So I dive in, licking, stroking, sucking, and finger fucking her pussy as I ride her face to ecstasy. I try not to break her neck with the way my legs want to clamp around her head from the pleasure that hits me in waves as she sucks my clitoris while stroking the most pleasurable place between my thighs. I feel my orgasm build as she speeds up the thrusting of her two fingers inside of me while changing the tempo in which she tongues my pussy. I scream out my orgasm as I shatter into 1,000 pieces. I continue to suck, lick, and finger her pussy until I taste the sweet tartness of her release, gushing on the flat of my tongue as her body writhes beneath me, and she shouts out her own climax. As much as I want to collapse on top of her and smother her to death with my body, I roll myself off her, sliding my exhausted body to the floor. I lay in a sweaty heap on the soft plush white cashmere rug, peacefully basking in the aftermath of a hot as hell orgasm. Come back this Friday and we'll talk business. Love loudly whispers, causing me to crane my neck to hear her statement. A slight smile graces my lips for the first time in a while, my heart feeling as if it's about to explode out of my chest isn't a cause for alarm. It's not feeling as if it'll explode from fear or anxiety, but from the excitement of almost being free and able to take fly away from my hellhole of a hometown. I stand in her kitchen mixing us some whiskey sours to celebrate the news I've shared with love that my asshole ex-boyfriend is as dead as a doornail. Love sits beautifully poised in a silk bathrobe on her white leather couch. Anytime I glance her way from the kitchen, I have to clench my thighs together because this is the only way to get some reprieve from the sexual hunger I feel. Seeing love lounging on that white couch in nothing but a very sexy silk bathrobe floods my mind with pleasurable memories of what happened between us in that very spot only a few days earlier. I carry the iridescent twisted whiskey tumblers filled to the rim with amber booze over to the couch to join her. Before I take a sip of my whiskey sour, she snatches it out of my hand and replaces it with hers. I roll my eyes. I feel like I'm on an impossible feat to get this woman to trust me but I needed her trust, no matter how hard won, in order to gain the freedom I desperately wanted. How dirty are you willing to get your hands, Summer? Love asks me from her corner on the couch. As dirty as I need them to get my ass as far away as possible from Myrtle Beach, I respond, taking a big gulp of my whiskey sour and enjoying the burn down my throat as it warms my body. I need to eliminate my, shall we call him, business partner. Love states, causing me to look at her in confusion. Your highest bidder is my business partner. You'd be the easiest way to get rid of him and make it look like an accident. I don't want to know the details, but any man who pays for sex, I'm sure is into some real kinky shit. Love says, fake gagging. My highest bidder is your business partner? How did you get in bed with a man like him? He seems very dangerous, I question, curious about her connections to the Simeon men, and if she knew my ex-boyfriend is the son of my highest bidder. Love takes a few slow sips of her whiskey sour, the silence stretching between us like a chasm as I wait for her response. Hell, knowing how this woman likes to play games, she may not provide me with an answer to my $1 million question. The great Samuel Simeon goes by many names, but for your ex and me, it's always been father. I need him gone so I can run the empire. You perfectly fell in my hands, which wasn't hard. Ocean was always arrogant. I had to watch and wait, and my baby brother was going to screw himself over. Love responds, draining her glass, watching my reaction. I'm sure she can read the disbelief that flashes through my eyes. She must look more like their mother, but the striking resemblance shared between the Simeons is their beautiful eye color. How did I miss this time and time again? I look at Love, shocked by everything she confessed to me, in utter disbelief. But did I want another Simeon's blood on my hands? You know, Sarah, I don't know if I want to kill another Simeon man, I say, letting out a deep breath. Her eyes widen, but her composure doesn't falter when I use her real name and not the online alias she uses for her business endeavors. What? Why? He's exclusively purchased you. With him out of the picture, you'll be a free woman, Love asks. She begins to cough, grabbing her throat with a wheeze. I smile to myself, marveling at her discomfort and pain. I hope her pain hurts like a motherfucker. No one deserves a more painful death than this conniving little bitch. Because, sexy, I don't think earning my freedom from you is any longer necessary. Cheers, sweetie, I sarcastically spew, draining the end of my glass. Love, or shall I say Sarah, gasps for air as blood drips from her perfect nose and tears pour from those pretty, pretty hazel eyes. I sit back and watch as my last tormentor, who tried to ruin my life, takes her final breath. The light of life leaves her bright, sparkling eyes, making them bleak and soulless. Her lifeless body slumps over on the white leather couch where we shared a few unforgettable memories. I take out my burner phone and place the call to Daddy Simeon. He picks up on the first ring. It's done, I say, not feeling a single ounce of remorse as I stare into Sarah Simeon's open dead eyes. Sarah is dead? The KGB-coated glass always works. My ungrateful brats got what was coming to them. I treated them too well if they thought they could outsmart me. I'll have a cleaning crew on its way. You know where to meet me, Daddy Simeon declares before the line goes dead. Samuel Simeon had become my savior. He visited me in prison, he paid for my attorney, and made sure I had everything I needed through the commissary. I think I may be in love with this man, having fallen for him the second he locked me away in that ivory tower of luxury and took my virginity, at least enough to give him my heart without fear of having to seek retribution. I guess only time will tell, because it seemed love was a dangerous game that we all played, but I intended to survive, one way or another. It seems like sweet Summer Monson isn't so innocent and naive as she once was. She got her revenge on the Simeon siblings, but is she really free? Or did Daddy Simeon use her as a pawn? Will Summer have to survive another Simeon, or will she be able to love Samuel Simeon freely and fearlessly? If you want a continuation of this story, then join my Patreon. Also, don't be shy, slide in my DMs and let me know your thoughts about my stories. Until next time, ta-ta for now, loves. Oh, so hot and sexy bedtime stories from Lala's Bedtime. Thanks for tuning in to this week's erotic tale. For more erotic stories, sex tips, love advice, and sexual education, check out lalasbedtimetales.com and add me on Instagram for more erotic and sensual content at Lala's Bedtime Tales. Please comment and share your fave sexy bedtime stories with erotica enthusiasts like you and me. Ta-ta until next time, sexies.